Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's up, everybody? Que Golazo weekend preview with Serie A returning. All five major leagues in Europe are back. And guess what? We got James Bench, Jimmy Conrad. We're going to have your betting tips, analysis, and so much more. Weekend preview. Que Golazo begins right now. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Que Golazo weekend preview. It's a good one, baby. I'm so excited. This is JJ Cool, courtesy of our producer, Des Norris, who I wonder how that will stick. I don't think it's going to stick that long. Jimmy Conrad, how are you, bud?
I'm doing great.
What you're referencing.
Yeah. You probably have to catch up, everybody. I'm just happy to see James Benj in a tie-dye shirt. I mean, that's what I'm here for my weekend preview. That's what I signed up for.
James, how are you, bud?
Well, we've got to put the effort in. I mean, this is my first time with Jimmy in weeks and weeks. And I want to respect these traditions, these weekend previews. They're always good fun. And Jimmy always makes some people some money. Not me, because I never listen to him.
Well, you do the reverse psychology thing, so we'll see what happens there. But yes, as you mentioned, it's great to have James Bench, Jimmy Conrad. By the way, like, follow, subscribe, leave a review, tell your friends about Que Golazo. Thank you so much for the support on Twitter, Que Golazo Pod, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, etc., etc. Right, let's get straight into it. There's a lot to discuss, of course, as we mentioned, Serie A, and we'll get into that in a second. But Jimmy, let's run this tape, because if you wanted to follow Jimmy's advice last week, you did the right thing. Run that tape, Des Norris. I don't know how well you follow him, but listen.
The Red Devils haven't looked to secure the defensive side of the ball too much. I know they made some signings, but they ended the previous Premier League campaign without a clean sheet in 8 of their final 9 matches. And in the preseason, their only clean sheet came the last time they played against Everton. That was missing Richarlison and Dominic Calvert-Lewin. So I like, and we know Leeds can score. So I like United to win and both teams to score plus 200. I'm looking at that. Bruno Fernandes to score first, plus 300, which
set
I think
piece taker. Set piece
he might
taker.
Be. And if you want him to score anytime, plus 105.
There it is. I love it. Well done. Look, first of all, it was a little scary to have two Jimmys at the same time. But well done, Jimmy Conrad. I hope you know, Fernandes did his part, of course. Well done. What do you have to say? And by the way, after that, what are you leading with this time around?
Okay, yes, I want to give a shout out to Bruno Fernandes for making all my dreams come true. That's first and foremost. Second, I want to talk about Arsenal-Chelsea. It is the biggest matchup, in my humble opinion, in the Premier League, because one of these things is not like the other. We have Chelsea, who are fantastic, who looked very good against Crystal Palace in week 1. And oh, by the way, N'Golo Kante should start this one. He didn't even play against Crystal Palace. Oh, and by the way, Romelu Lukaku might be starting this one as well. And I fear for Arsenal, who barely could muster any type of anything going forward against Brentford. So I really like Chelsea to win to nil plus 175, because I don't know who's going to score. It doesn't look like Lacazette or Aubameyang's going to play, but maybe James Bench, our Arsenal insider, can come in and give us some different information. But that's where I'm leaning right now.
Well, Jimmy Conrad, I see your N'Golo Kante, potential Ballon d'Or winner, starting. And I see your Romelu Lukaku, potential Ballon d'Or winner, starting. And I raise you Sheffield United goalkeeper Aaron Ramsdale potentially being on the bench. And I raise you Martin Ødegaard probably not getting his visa in time. I mean, yeah, Arsenal are... it has a little bit of a sense of the trolley dash that they carried out post the 8-2 defeat to Man United about a decade ago, where they're just trying desperately to get bodies in time for, ideally, Sunday's game. Probably not, though. They've got to be in by midday UK time on Friday. It sounds like Ramsdale will be done. Ødegaard is very much up in the air.
What do you think about that Ramsdale thing, James Manch?
I actually think it's a much better signing than people give him credit for. He had a bit of a stinker last season with Sheffield United, but I think a lot of goalkeepers would find that situation really hard. A defence that really fell apart without Jack O'Connell. it seemed like if you kind of look at the numbers, he really struggled with long shots. And actually, Arsenal are a very good team at taking those long shots away from their opponents. So I think long term, I think he will be good. He will replace Bernd Leno, who wants to go, and Arsenal kind of want him to go next summer. So it's a good deal for the long term. And I think you could say the same about Ødegaard, same about Ben White. But then the challenge here right now is you've got to think immediately about how on earth can we go into the international break on 0 points, which, let's be honest, you know, as Jimmy was saying with his bet and looking at those odds, -126 for Chelsea, the most likely circumstances, Arsenal are bottom of the table or around the bottom of the table. After these first three games are done, Chelsea and Man City up next. So it's very strange
You could sign prime Thierry Henry right now and you're still not winning this game. Like, I don't agree. Like, if you don't have an overhaul of like five players,
not even on hot, like, you know, late 90s Thierry Henry,
I would give them a goal. I'd say Henry would do something that he had to put the team on his back and make something happen. But pound for pound, this Chelsea team is next level and they're only getting stronger. And I wonder about Romelu Lukaku. If they bring him in, then what other part? I mean, it's going to take a little while to get into the system. Maybe it won't. I don't know. But that's the only saving grace I can give Arsenal, is that maybe having Lukaku up there could maybe stifle the attack in some capacity. I'm just trying to give Arsenal something. I'm trying to extend an olive branch here because I think it could be a very bad performance and two games on the trot where you don't even score in the first two games, Bench.
Well, listen, we saw the draw for over 22.55. Do you see that maybe happening? Well, I mean, that's a question to either of you. A draw maybe? Jimmy's laughing, so I know what his answer. Jimmy's really laughing.
No. Go ahead, Bench. Right.
So my kind of view on Arsenal is that they're basically a cup team, and as such, you know, they will raise their game significantly, you know, as they have throughout Mikel Arteta's reign. They've played better against the best teams. And actually, you go back and watch that Brentford game, it was horrible after Brentford scored the opening goal. And aside from Emile Smith-Rowe, every player, shied away from the spotlight. But, you know, early on, they played some nice stuff. They are really lacking that central figure. I think that might end up being Martinelli this time if Lacazette and Aubameyang haven't recovered. But they're not a bad team.
What's their identity, Bench? I mean, I know when I look at Chelsea, I know exactly who they are and how they're going to play and what their identity is and where they're trying to have success and where they want to win the ball on both sides of the ball. But I don't know what Arsenal's identity is.
So this is quite interesting. And I think almost it doesn't really matter against Chelsea, because against this team, all they're going to do is quite possibly match them in terms of shape and just try and nick a goal and survive. Longer term, I think one of the really interesting things is Arteta is caught between his vision and the players he has. You know, you can tell that he wants to play possession, dominate the ball, dominate territory, slow build. But then every single good player in the final third he has, Pepe, Aubameyang, Partey, they're all transition players. They're all win the ball back, punch through, and get it done. Even, you know, Smith-Rowe, Saka and Ødegaard are all better in broken play. This is why, you know, I mean, I've said before, I don't think Arteta will reach the end of the season. I know Luis went stronger than that. Arsenal really desperately, desperately want him to succeed. But I think that his vision and the players he has just do not click together. Partly that's because he can't sell. There's so much dross in this Arsenal squad that they desperately want to sell and can't. But it's just, I feel like the good work Arteta's doing, he's not going to see, because it's just going to get a bit too hard. The attack's going to get too stodgy. And I do think he's going to go into the international break fighting for his job, because, as you know, as Jimmy says, Chelsea going to win this. And maybe even if Lukaku doesn't fire, I'm really excited for what he does with Timo Werner. Tuchel talks about Lukaku as a target man. Kind of Lukaku's even talking about himself more as a target man than we think he is. So watch what Timo Werner does when he's got someone to play off at last, when he's not playing as the kind of lead forward, lead scorer.
Yeah, that's a very, very scary thing. Yeah.
Absolutely dominate.
No, it's very scary. I think you hit the nail on the head, James Bench. I think you hit the nail on the head. It's about, I think Arteta's trying to do Man City things from back being in City Guardiola on a team that's not Man City. and you have to try and, you know, try and figure out what to do there. So Jimmy Conrad, just very quickly, you have Chelsea to win 2-0. That's over 175. You got an exact score prediction, you think?
No, I don't. I'm going to stay away from that because I don't know. Lukaku could come in and start muscling everybody around and scoring a brace or whatever, and it turns from 1-0 to 3-0. So I'm just going to say Chelsea to win 2-0 plus 175. I'm feeling really good about that bet. I know Benj does too, even though he doesn't want to admit it on this show.
James, do you want to stick to that?
Yeah, I would think Chelsea might well win this 3-0, 3-1. Ooh. I could see Arsenal nicking one, but only when it's irrelevant. So, I mean, I back Jimmy's bet.
Yeah,
it's going to be hard. This Chelsea team's amazing.
They are. I mean, I have them winning the Premier League, so we'll see what happens there. But listen, for speaking of North London teams looking for identity, let's talk about another matchup with teams looking for identity. Wolves against Tottenham, Jimmy Conrad, the Nuno Espirito Santo homecoming. What do you expect here?
You know, I like the line of Spurs to win straight up plus 135. And so I might just throw them in a parlay at some point, and maybe people should consider that line. Harry Kane to score first, plus 320. That is something to look at. It looks like he is going to be featured to play in this one. My only concern with Harry Kane is the fact that when he was having a little bit of that rumors stuff swirling around him ahead of the Euros, he didn't play particularly well in the group stage. He finally scored and kind of relaxed, and then they, you know, led him to the final and started to play a little bit better. But even when he took that penalty against Denmark, it was a little iffy, you know? So I feel like you can get into his head a bit. So I don't know which version of Harry Kane we're going to get if he does play, the one that's kind of in his own head or the one that's got a chip on his shoulder and wants to prove that he should be making that move to City. So plus 320 for him to score first is something I'm looking at and considering. But I would look at the lineups first, everybody, before you make that decision. Spurs are playing midweek in the Europa Conference League. They have to travel down to Portugal to play leg one against Paços de Ferreira, which is awesome because I don't know if Paços de Ferreira would ever be in any kind of European competition. So I kind of like the Conference League so far. Spurs fans probably don't like it so much because they have to travel for leg one ahead of a big one against Wolves. So that would be the only thing I take into consideration, even though I think we'll see a bit of a second team from Nuno for that leg one, see if they can get a result and bring it back for the following week. But the fact that they're already in midweek games so far into the season, I think that gives Wolves a bit of a chance. But I loved what I saw from Spurs last week. They're already starting to form an identity under Nuno. And obviously, to get a clean sheet against City, you have to think they're going to try to build on that momentum and can do something similar against Wolves.
I really liked that Spurs performance in terms of just reading the game perfectly and defending fantastically. And I mean, but I do wonder how much of that was just brilliant individual performances. And, you know, going back to that question of identity, is that what Spurs going to play? The same sort of football that they hated under Jose Mourinho? Are they going to play three fast attackers, or is it going to be a bit more pressing? I thought it was really interesting how he used Højbjerg and to a lesser extent Dele Alli against City. You know, you would think that Højbjerg in particular would just sit and tackle and, you know, not really do much with the ball. I mean, this is much more like the guy we saw at the Euros, bombing forward, trying to win possession and then carry it high up the pitch, which kind of puts me more in mind of the Pochettino Tottenham. And that could get the best out of someone like Dele Alli. And equally, it kind of means that you don't need Kane as much. After the sort of early flourishes of Pochettino, Kane didn't really press. He didn't really work off the ball. I mean, fantastic on the ball, great facilitator. And I kind of was of the view before the season began, and I still sort of am, that even at the price that Daniel Levy wants, which is about at least 150 million, possibly more, that actually Spurs shouldn't sell, because you've got to then replace the Premier League's best scorer, one of the Premier League's best creators, and those players have got to want to play Europa Conference League football. So, but this, if this is really what Tottenham is, and it's so hard to judge off a Man City game because everyone has to adapt their plans for City, I kind of can see them being all right without Kane. And why play him? Why bother with a player that doesn't want to be there? It seems pretty intent on burning bridges that, you know, we thought were indestructible with Tottenham supporters. I just think, is he worth the hassle anymore?
Yeah, you got to be smart with the money, though. Just depending what you do with it. And also, by the way, Mota and Bergwijn played out of their minds. That's not going to happen every week. That's the point, I think, as well, that needs to be said. But I agree with you. I think if you're smart with the money, you can really do something, especially with this Nuno Espirito Santo you know, tactics. All right, well, let's focus specifically on this Wolves Tottenham game, Jimmy.
Yeah.
What else do you see here? Because obviously Kane obviously determines a lot whether his absence or not, you know, against Nuno Espirito Santo's former club.
Well, this
go ahead.
No, I was just going to jump in and say for everybody listening and for us as we discuss this, who has the advantage? Nuno knows these players on Wolves very intimately. He knows that Raul Jimenez is back on the team, and I'm obviously very happy to see him back on the team. He knows how this team works. He knows how Traore likes to create space, even though Traore probably should have had a brace last week against Leicester, and he missed a couple sitters. Well, yeah. Not necessarily sitters, but he missed some good opportunities. Trincao, I thought, was good. You know, he's familiar with Matinho, Ruben Neves. Like, he knows these players. On the flip side, yes, of course, Wolves are familiar with Spurs, but they don't know them intimately. And I feel like that gives Nuno a big advantage because he knows what makes those players tick. He knows how to make them feel uncomfortable. He knows how to make those players suffer and what they don't like. Whereas on the flip side, the new manager for Wolves, Bruno Lage, he doesn't know the Spurs. He knows them, right? Just like we know. I mean, there's some familiarity, of course, and he knows kind of strengths and weaknesses overall. But Nuno knows the Wolves players a lot more intimately, and I think that's going to provide the edge for me. As much as I think Wolves will be competitive in this one, I just feel like Spurs are just going to have that little bit of edge, and it's because of that experience of Nuno as their manager.
Yeah, and how well does Nuno know Bruno Lage as well? That could be a general question. Well, how do you see this game, James Bencher? Because it's you know, we talked about the tactics from Tottenham's perspective. Can Wolves get anything here? What do you see them right now?
I mean,
I think I know the answer already.
Yeah, I'm a little underwhelmed. I think if Raul Jimenez... It will take so long, but if he gets back to form, they missed that so much last season. And I think until he's back at his best, they don't really have another high quality striker. And you know, as Jimmy says, Adama, great until you put him in front of goal. That's what kind of worries me about this Wolves team. And I kind of think it'll really show against Tottenham. There's just not that cutting edge.
Here's a crazy question for you before you keep going. Can they get relegated?
No.
No, there's some bad teams in the league this season.
Mm. All right. That's good.
They will turn it around. And also, they've always got a bit of money and, you know, good connections to good players. But I worry about them in the final third. I don't think this will be an exciting game. They will be worried about, let's not let Spurs counter. Let's not give Son... not give Son and company space to run in behind. And I think Tottenham will similarly be a little bit, you know, will be looking to play that way. I don't know if they're a team that are really set up to assert themselves in terms of possession. So I think this will kind of be decided by the odd goal. I'd lean towards Tottenham just for having superior finishers that are in great form. But I'm not expecting a classic here, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah. Jimmy, let's end it with some betting tips here.
Yeah, I mean, the only one that I had was Spurs to win straight up plus 135. Yeah. And honestly, I'm going to throw them in a parlay. And I'll tell you guys my parlay after we get through some of more the Premier League games of ones to consider. And there's some really good value there. So I like Spurs to win straight up. To Benja's point, I think it's going to be tight. It could be a set piece, you know, maybe a 1-0. Could be a 2-1. I don't know. I mean, I do like some of the firepower that Wolves do have in their team, but I just feel like Spurs, I mean, it's one of those things, not only do Nuno know these players, but Spurs, I guess this would be kind of Spursy to beat Manchester City and then lose to Wolves, which pretty much negates the big win over City. So can they build on that momentum is going to be a big challenge, I think, for Nuno, especially because of that midweek game. I mean, that's something to throw in there as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on here. Let's have some fun here. Aston Villa against Newcastle. Villa returning to Villa Park opening game. So I'm not going to say much. Jimmy Conrad, talk to me.
There's nothing to say here. I mean, even Benj can hop in. Listen, I'm still bitter. Newcastle had the lead last week against West Ham, 2-1 at home in halftime. I'm thinking, great, Steve Bruce, Graham Jones are going to come in, the coaching staff. They're going to get the guys ready to go. Tactics are going to be perfect. Let's lock it down. St. James's Park, first win of the season. 8 minutes after halftime, we give up a goal, and then we give two more goals up in the next 10 minutes to lose 4-2. Like, what is even happening? So listen, Aston Villa obviously got shocked by Watford. They're not going to want to let that happen again. You know, I just feel like Dean Smith's going to have them ready to go, especially at home in front of a full house before the international break. You got to get the points here. I think Villa are going to do it. That said, I do feel like Alonson Maximin has some sauce. Callum Wilson seems to like to score early in the season, and then as he gets injured, score less and less. I think that Aston Villa are going to win. And I say this as a Newcastle supporter, so I wore the Newcastle jersey that kind of has Aston Villa colors. And both teams to score, plus 250, I think, for me, is really the best value, because both teams are going to score here. The value isn't great. It's in the negative if you want to get on Caesar's Sportsbook. But I will say that if you start to sprinkle in different results, I don't see Newcastle even getting a draw here. I thought their defensive frailties were on full display, and they had a lead and couldn't hold it. And I think Villa have just got some really exciting attacking players. Leon Bailey's only going to get more and more comfortable. Buendia. Ollie Watkins should start this one. Hopefully, I think from a Villa perspective, and maybe partner with Danny Ings up top. So I like Villa to win and both teams to score plus 250.
I feel like, Jimmy, you're already doing the forfeit of wearing the colors of the winning team. I can't wait to see Luis Don. But I actually think, Luis, you're going to be wearing the black and white.
Well,
Joe Willock back in the Newcastle team. Now, that is a guarantee of a goal. I think he's not that far off matching Jamie Vardy's record for consecutive games scored. I think he's on 8 and Vardy is 12.
Right.
So that will happen, because it's Joe Willock. It's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. It's the hottest of hot streaks.
Yep.
It's completely unsustainable and therefore will keep going forever. But I'm a bit down on Villa, at least in the short term. And I'm not just doing this to wind up, Luis.
You should. Keep going.
Listen, we've talked a lot about Arsenal. Just bring it. You might as well. Yeah,
exactly. Now for payback. But I just think you can do everything right in terms of replacing a transcendent player. You can sign multiple players to do the job, even if you didn't get one of your first choices in Emile Smith Rowe. Should point that out. And I think they have done a really good job on that. But the whole team has to be completely redesigned. The whole team functioned around Jack Grealish, and that's when it functioned well. I think we forget as well that, like, Villa tapered off really badly at the end of last season, had one of the worst XG differentials of the second half of the season. And it will take time. I'm not crazy about the Danny Ings signing. I thought that was the one bit of business that I was like, you've paid an awful lot of money there for a player I'm not sure is better than Ollie Watkins. But all of that is going to just require a little bit of adjustment. And I think it will mean the attacking patterns that were really nice at the first half of last season, they're going to take time to reemerge. And I think in that period, you don't want to come up against teams like Newcastle that will defend with five players, that will hit you on the counter, and that do have that little spark of something with Saint-Maximin, with Willock. I like Newcastle to somehow get, I think they will suit playing away, massing the box, hitting teams on the counter. And I quite like Newcastle to get at least a point, but I kind of feel all three. And I may be just doing that to break Jimmy's heart when they then lose heavily.
No, you're doing it way more for a wind-up than anything else. But listen, all your points are absolutely valid. ASM, by the way, against Matt Target scares me. See if he goes right. He is ridiculous. We're going to move on here. I don't want to dwell too much into it, but you know, you got the lines there. Plenty of other games in the Premier League. We're not going to go all over the place. But Jimmy, what else are you looking at here? Because I'm looking at some other matches this weekend.
Yeah, good question. I mean, obviously Manchester City versus Norwich is going to be one that I'm looking at in particular to kind of to see how Man City respond after losing to Spurs. Don't really have a line there so much. Manchester United traveling to Southampton, I think, is very interesting, because the last time these two played, it was 9-0 at Old Trafford. In fairness, Southampton did get a red card in the second minute, if you guys remember that one. So the one away from home at St. Mary's last year, which is where this game is going to be played. United
and look at all those players 3-2. Southampton has lost as well, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I'm kind of, maybe do we let it ride? Do we let Bruno Fernandes score first again for plus 320? I think that's interesting. I also think Jadon Sancho scoring first, plus 600, is some tremendous value. So it's a little bit of a more of a risk, but at some point he's going to show up and score, and why not score the first one? I'm looking at that game in particular and seeing how United kind of build off of their 5-1 win against Leeds this past weekend. Speaking of Leeds versus Everton, I find to be very interesting. I'm kind of jostling between Leeds winning straight up plus 135 and the draw plus 250. What I want to say is that both teams beat each other away from home last year, but there were no fans last time Everton went to Leeds and got a result. And I think this time around that will be a little bit different, because Leeds fans are crazy and I'm here for it. Calvin Phillips should be back. Gino Firpo didn't start the first game. I think he will. And I think these two getting into the starting lineup will make a big difference. So Everton, obviously, great comeback last week when you have Richarlison and Dominic Calvert-Lewin both scoring. I think that's a big deal. It's going to build a lot of confidence. But this Leeds team, I mean, right, they either win 5-1 or lose 5-1, and they lost last week, and I just feel like Bielsa will be a little bit under the gun to get a big result in front of fans for the first time in forever.
I can't believe Richarlison started, by the way. Like, absolutely.
I know. What a machine.
Insane. Benj, anything to take from anything of that?
Yeah, I'm like Jimmy. I'm really excited for Southampton Man United because I really, really think there could be a hell of a lot of goals, and I don't see Southampton scoring many of them at all. Bless them. I think this is going to be a tough season for them. I think, you know, I'm liking the look of Jimmy's bet on Jadon Sancho. I've already called him as the player I think is going to win Player of the Year this season. So,
wow, bold.
Well, he's completely world class already at 22. Yeah, right. He's got the narrative behind him, and he's just what Man United need. I think if United get near the title, and Sancho plays kind of even a semi significant role, he will be winning individual awards in abundance this season. Yep. So yeah, I look forward to seeing him up against a pretty average defense.
Yep, and then Paul Pogba, of course, for assists last time around. And Mason Greenwood is definitely worth the onion as well. What a finisher. Still so much to see from him. All right, we're going to leave the Premier League. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, let me just do the parlay, a little Premier League parlay for everybody.
Parlay, everybody.
So there's two that I'm looking at. I think Man United to win away from home, Chelsea to win away from home against Arsenal, Tottenham to win away from home against Wolves. All three of those, that's plus 576 if you have all of them winning from home. If I switch the Tottenham one and we think, all right, Wolves might have a chance, we'll put the draw there. So if it's a draw between Wolves and Tottenham and then Man United and Chelsea both win, that's plus 760.
What?
And it jumps up quite a bit. So you could bet both of those. You could bet $10, $50, whatever, and you could have the draw and the win for Tottenham, and that would cover both of those. But obviously you're banking on United and Chelsea to do the job. And I think we can sit here and say that's probably going to happen. So just something to consider for you guys parlay-wise. Obviously there's other games to take into consideration as well. But those are the three I was looking at.
Let's split it, everybody. Let's just make it happen. You know, Lisa Roman was our bank last time around. I think there's Norris to come in this one as well. I love it. I love it. All right, we're going to leave the Premier League now and move on to Serie A.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
A Serie A, baby. I'm going to do the plug right now. By the way, Paramount Plus is your home for soccer, and now it's your home for calcio. Stream every match of Serie A, Italy's top league, featuring some of the world's best clubs, including Juventus, Inter Milan, AC Milan, AS Roma, Napoli, and so many more. Plus, some of the world's biggest stars, like Cristiano Ronaldo, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Lautaro Martinez, the beautiful Olivier Giroud, Weston McKennie, and so many more. With live matches and heart-pounding CBS Sports coverage, you don't want to miss. Serie A kicks off opening weekend, August 21 and 22, streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Jimmy Conrad was part of the preview for us. James Bench was part of the preview for us. We're talking Serie A, baby. Let's go. Roma Fiorentina is the one I'm looking at, Jimmy Conrad.
Yeah, this is a great one. I'm very curious to see how Jose Mourinho comes out, if he comes out and tries to be pragmatic against Fiorentina. If you go under 2.5 goals in this, plus 120, I find that to be very interesting because of what Mourinho brings to the table, because Roma shipped so many goals last year defensively, one of the worst teams in Serie A. For sure, and definitely one of the worst teams to ever qualify.
Look at Mourinho. He looks so happy and tan. He just loves Italy, doesn't he?
I think he does. I think he does. And the one other thing I would add is I don't know who's going to start up top for Roma, but them scoring first, Tammy Abraham is plus 350. Borja Mayoral is plus 400. He scored 17 goals last season in all competitions for Roma. Not really getting the respect he deserves when Edin Dzeko was not available, and now Edin Dzeko's with Inter Milan. And then Shomurodov, who just scored in the preseason, he's plus 450 to also get in there. And he kind of feels like a Jose Mourinho player type to me, just runs and runs and runs and runs and then runs some more, does the work, loves the work. And I think he's going to hit the back of the net. I could see him getting 10 league goals this particular season under Mourinho. But I'm kind of curious to see how they set up and who's going to play that number nine spot. Hopefully it's Tammy Abraham, but it might take him a week or two to get kind of into the team.
I thought it was interesting that Jimmy was expecting pragmatic Mourinho from the off, because obviously we know that's what he defaults to. But I think, you know, for a manager that's so aware of his reputation, I mean, obviously Serie A suits that pragmatic style. But my suspicion is early on he's going to try and remind everyone, you know, that he doesn't always play that way. And
yeah.
Then he'll lose a game 4-3 and immediately go to a back six. But I think in the meantime, you know, he's got so much attacking talent on there, in there, not just Abraham, you know, who we spoke about in the preview pod, but, you know, behind him, be it Zaniolo, Mkhitaryan. I'm really excited to see how he manages Mkhitaryan and Smalling after their experiences at Man yes. United. But I'd look for him to kind of go on the front foot early on and just try and kind of burgeon his reputation. I think we do have to kind of see everything that Roma do on the pitch through kind of the medium of Mourinho being very conscious of what he's doing. So I like Roma to start this season in quite exciting fashion. They've got the talent. I mean, Fiorentina do as well.
I was going to say, man, they got to watch out for Dusan Vlahovic, by the way. Like, this is a player.
Well, they won't be the only ones, will they? Everyone in the Premier League is watching this guy. And I think it's a matter of time before he makes that move, but maybe it's not this season. Maybe it's in a year to come. And he has been phenomenal over the last few months with Fiorentina. So I think this has got goals written all over it, in spite of Jimmy's bets, in spite of them.
A draw's over 280 though, Jimmy Conrad. It's not terrible.
No, it's not terrible at all. And I think we can make a couple big arguments. I just don't know if Vlahovic is going to play, right? If he is on the cusp of either moving to Atletico Madrid or City's now interested, if they can't get Harry Kane, they're going to splash 70, 80 million on him. Then why would Fiorentina risk playing him in this one? I don't know. That said, their owner, Rocco Commisso, is crazy. I've met the guy and hung out with him before when he owned the New York Cosmos here in the States. And he just does whatever he wants. He does not care. And if he's going to make Dusan play, then Dusan's going to play.
I wouldn't expect anything less from anybody named Rocco. By the way.
The guy's crazy. He just he loves it. He loves being involved with this. And I love that there's owners like him that have this type of personality and this exuberance. But in this particular instance, if you have a player that's on the cusp of leaving, you don't want him to get hurt and potentially risk, you know, missing out on $70, $80 million that could help give you some cash. So it's going to be interesting to see if he ends up starting. If he doesn't, I feel like that plays more into Mourinho's hands. And to Benja's point, there could be a lot of goals here, but there's just something I thought was pretty intriguing about that under 2.5 as Mourinho tries. At least we got to get 3 points right from the get-go.
Yeah. Tammy Abraham to score 350. I like that. I like
that's the score first. I just want to throw that out there. Score
you first. Score first. Right.
Which could be the only goal. In my opinion, could be the only goal. So
right. Maybe. Mourinho, I mean, 1-0. You never know. All right, let's move on here. Napoli against Venezia, Jimmy Conrad.
Yeah, this is a good one. I like Napoli to win to nil plus 112. There's not a lot of good value here. There's not any kind of confidence coming from Venezia or from the bookies on Venezia at all, despite the fact that I want to see two Americans, Tanner Tessman and Gianluca Busio, play in this. It would be very cool to see them try to deal and survive and suffer against Napoli, who I think are going to play a little bit different for Spalletti, the manager of Napoli, who's had some tremendous success in Serie A, very experienced manager. I'm curious how he's going to come out. I have a lot of questions and I need some answers. And I think I need to see the first match for a lot of these clubs, especially in Serie A, especially because there's so many new managers in the league, 13 new managers this season, to really understand what identity, we'll get back to identity a little bit, how they're trying to play and what they're trying to do to have success on both sides of the ball. But yeah, I just think this is one-way traffic. And because the bookies think the same way, the only positive value I could find is very similar to the Chelsea one, them winning with a clean sheet. So I like Napoli to win to nil plus 112.
I mean, do we really care about how Venezia play football this year? They're a lifestyle brand, aren't they?
I just want to see what they look like, how they enter the stadium.
I've got the club shop open right now as we're talking. And I'm just going through going, oh, yeah, away kit. Yep, take that. Third kit. Yep. Yeah, I'll have that one as well. I feel like in a few years' time, they'll be signing, you know, they'll have a Leo Messi, Kylian. They'll have PSG's frontline. They'll have made it all out of merch. They'll just, if you're watching it on YouTube now, we're watching the guy in the kit looks quite a bit like Fabrizio Romano. I don't know if he's...
Fabrizio Romano's going to love that.
Well, exactly. You've got to get him on your side, haven't you?
This is just tremendous content, by the way. Look at this. I mean, really? Like, to your point, who cares what the score is? Look at this.
They could lose every game.
Oh, it's Tanner Tasman, by the way. We just realized that. It's Tanner Tasman. It's the tank.
Have you ever seen him
right there
in the same room?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I mean, the other game I'm super excited to see, the return of Sarri ball to Serie A as well.
Yeah, same.
Not least because I've seen some of the clips from Lazio's preseason. They're away at Empoli first up. So, you know, a game where they can probably impose themselves a little bit. This team looked phenomenal. Like, you know, again, clips playing Serie C, Serie D teams. I'm not trying to get too carried away, but they've already got that movement down the left. Sarri's starting to get some of his trusted lieutenants back. He's brought Pedro, who obviously he worked with at Chelsea and got an awful lot out of. He's brought the Albanian right back, whose name no one can pronounce. Hajsaj. He brought him from Napoli.
Yeah.
Well, if you follow us on Twitter, Kegolasso Pod, you know, give us an audio message and tell us how to pronounce it.
It's Husay, I think.
Husay?
El Said Husay.
Jimmy, how are you so good on names? But Leon is just such a mess for you.
Go to Forvo.com. Honestly, Forvo.com is the place where I get all my pronunciations. It's just shout out.
Yeah, but then Leon, come on.
It's you know what? I can't help my gringo-ness in every single pronunciation.
Can't help my gringo-ness. That should be a t-shirt, by the way. But anyway, any more games, Jimmy Conrad? Serie A is just packed.
Oh, yeah. I don't really have any lines. But
yeah, just something you're looking at.
No, but I'm looking at I want to see how Juventus play now that Maxi Allegri's back against Udinese. I want to see how Atalanta play traveling away against Torino. I want to see, you know, Duvan Zapata, very similar to what we're talking about, Dusan Vlahovic. Is that how you say it?
I think so. Vlahovic. I was going to put the emphasis on itch, right? Vlahovic.
Yeah, yeah. Vlahovic. Thank you. So very similar. Is Duvan going to leave to go to Inter Milan? Do you risk that injury then? And that could, you know, the whole sale of a player would crash. So I'm kind of curious to see how these teams come out, especially the ones that are supposed to be the favorites. I think Juve are going to win the league. I'll just put my flag on the ground and say that. I think Inter are going to have some issues without Lukaku, without Hakimi, and then obviously with the new manager with Inzaghi. So that's kind of how I see it. But I'm very curious. Like I mentioned before, this first match day, I just have a lot of questions and I need some answers, and I think we'll get some.
Yeah. Bench, Sampdoria, AC Milan on Monday as well.
Olivier Giroud.
That's a good one.
I mean, they've done brilliant business, as we said in the preview pod. AC Milan, I really like the look of this combination of young and old, and the ideal backup for Ibrahimovic in Giroud. I think and he's been great in preseason. So they're one to watch. Absolutely good.
Oh, by the way, you had a question quickly before we move to the rest of Europe. You had a question for Jimmy Conrad, right? Is it Mike Maignan, right? Don't you think, Jimmy? Mike Maignan, the goalkeeper for AC Milan.
Oh my God, I'm a massive Mike Maignan fan. He actually had better numbers last season than Donnarumma. So he's going to come in from Lille. Lille, obviously, won Liga last year. And I think this is a tremendous signing. I don't think there's going to be any drop-off at all. And I think he's going to help one of Serie A's best defenses last season get even better this time around. So with all due respect to Donnarumma, obviously, tremendous, tremendous player who showed it at the Euros for Italy as well. But Maignan, I'm a fan. I'm a big fan. And I like Milan. I think they have one of the younger teams in Serie A. But with Giroud, with Zlatan, and some of those experienced players, Simon, Kjær in the back as well, I just think it's going to be a nice balance. So, you know, hopefully Leao continues to take big steps and Brahim Diaz. I think Milan is going to be pretty exciting to watch.
And what's going to be exciting to watch is Serie A on Paramount Plus. Make sure that you watch it because we got all the action. All right, we're going to finish off with elsewhere in Europe. A lot, Jimmy Conrad, in the Bundesliga. Of course, PSG. Is this Messi now? Is this Messi time? Athletic Bilbao, Barcelona, Real Madrid playing Levante. What do you want to go?
Yeah, I guess we can start with Brest versus PSG. We got to talk a little Leo Messi. Is he going to play this one? So this is so heavily one-sided on Caesars Sportsbook. I don't even know. My mind is like, they have no trust. It's like plus 5,000 for Brest to actually win this game. I will say, though, there's a crazy odds boost on the website right now. Messi, Neymar, and Mbappe to all score plus 400. And that sounds kind of crazy, but I'm here for crazy. And I might just put 10 bucks on that because it's more than possible. This Brest team is going to get overrun. I think Messi's going to make an appearance. I don't know if he'll start, but I think he will come off the bench. And yeah, Brest has got to be buzzing from a marketing standpoint. They're like, sweet, is Messi going to play this game? I mean, it's going to be wild there. So I'm kind of curious to see how this all plays out. But I do think it's going to be a pretty significant win for PSG.
I am aggressively indifferent to this whole PSG nonsense. I feel like they're getting more stars and I'm more indifferent about watching. I don't really care. They're going to, okay, so they'll hammer Brest and then they'll hammer Lyon and every other team. Congratulations. You've now set it up so that you will have no competitive games before the Champions League knockout stages kick off. Congratulations. Well played, PSG. I hope you're happy. I'm so much more interested in what's happening in post-Messi Barcelona because no one wants the number 10 shirt. And clearly, they're going to have to give it to Martin Brathwaite.
Well, he scored a brace and they're playing Athletic Bilbao. Let's get to that game quickly before the betting tip, James Bench. Let's talk about that game. Barcelona away at Athletic Bilbao. To your point, Braithwaite, right? Will he do it again? Memphis Depay, maybe as well.
Obviously, people on YouTube will see I'm doing the Thomas Muller thing, Martin Braithwaite. There we go. Got that.
Everybody considered him the Eric Choupo-Moting, but I think Braithwaite is actually kind of stepping above and beyond that. I think he got a lot of confidence from Denmark's run of the Euros where he just said, I can play with these guys. I can be the guy that actually wears the number 9 shirt for Barcelona. I think that Athletic are very tough to play against at the Sand Mamis. There's only 20% capacity, though, so I don't know how influential the fans are going to be. Usually they're very influential. That place used to be a fortress, and Athletic never used to lose there. Marcelino, the manager, they have some injury concerns. They didn't play particularly well against Elche on Monday. They didn't really create too much. And Iñaki Williams got a couple shots on goal. And I do think this Barcelona team can give up some goals. We saw it. But that's when they took their foot off the gas. They were, first 60 minutes, it was all Barcelona. I liked Memphis Depay a lot. I think that they're ready to move past this Messi situation and start to put their own stamp on things. My betting lines for this, Memphis Depay to score and Barcelona to win 1-0, 2-0, or 2-1 plus 550. Now, if you're thinking, I don't know if it's going to be Memphis, I think it's Antoine Griezmann that'll do that with the same score lines. That's plus 600. If you think that Braithwaite, who's going to wear the number 9 and number 10, according to James Bench, that's also plus 550. But the score line has to be Barca to win 1-0, 2-0, 2-1 with those guys scoring. I like Depay. I actually think he's going to hit the back of the net. I think he's been up for it since he put on a Barcelona shirt. He's been excellent in preseason. He was excellent in week one. And even though he has to be disappointed that Messi took off, I think that the team could be better for it. They just now other guys have to step up and fill the void. I think they have more than enough talent. Plus Coutinho, whatever you might think of Coutinho, he's working his way back into top form too. And when he's on his game, he's a top player.
I was just going to say, I do think these games are giving us a real sense of where we should kind of place Barcelona in the La Liga hierarchy, because I had no idea. I mean, how can you reassess this team post-Messi? But, you know, I think if they can come away with even just an away draw at the San Mamés is not something to be sniffed at whoever's in your team. So I think this is a game where we learn an awful lot about what Barcelona can achieve in this new era.
Yep, very good point. Well, from one club, very quickly, Levante hosts Real Madrid. That's Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern. You got a very quick one here, Jimmy Conrad, right?
Yeah, I'm just going Benzema to score first, plus 275. This guy's on it. I thought that maybe he would slow down, but he has not slowed down. He scored 2 goals last week, and I think he's going to do it again. And I just think the best value for him is to score first plus 275. Him scoring anytime is minus 125, so you have to bet 125 to win 100. I like him scoring first. He's in and around the goal. He's always around, and I just think that's tremendous value. And they are going to score against Levante for sure.
Yeah. Well, let's finish off here with a U.S. matchup in the Bundesliga. Talk to me, Jimmy Conrad. RB Leipzig against Stuttgart.
Oh, my God. Listen, I love Jesse Marsh, friend of the show, friend of HQ, friend of everybody, right? Super nice guy. I've known him for many years, played against him. But he's going against another American manager, Pellegrino Matarazzo, who was born in New Jersey. So that's crazy. So we have a kid from Wisconsin versus a kid from New Jersey managing in the German Bundesliga. I'm here for that.
Love
RB
it.
Leipzig did stumble a little bit against Mainz last weekend. Stuttgart had a tremendous win, 5-1. Now, Stuttgart beat Gute Fürth, who just got promoted, so take that with a grain of salt, whereas Mainz know who they are and what they're about away from home. I just really like the Stuttgart team. I never want to bet against Jesse Marsh, but when I'm looking at the value here, RB Leipzig's a heavy favorite. Stuttgart to win is plus 550. And I just feel like that's bait, everybody. That is a bait bet, and I am just going to hook, line, and sinker it. I just swallow the biggest hook, and I might put $10 on that because I'm going to leave my friendship with Jesse Marsh to the side, and I'm just looking at the value, and I think that plus 550 for Stuttgart to win is insane. That is way too high for me. I think they're a lot better than the bookies think.
Love it. I love it. I love it. So much content, and that is it for our weekend preview. Before we say goodbye, let's hear your final thoughts, James Bench.
No, I am footballed out, and we haven't even kicked the ball yet.
Jimmy Conrad.
Ho away the lads, baby. Let's go. Also, I got a snare drum. My neighbors are going to love me. Let's go. Come
your
on.
Neighbors. I think you're about to get divorced. I think that's the key right there. Hey, and listen.
One step at a time. I'm trying to burn. I'm like the Harry Kane over here. I'm trying to burn every relationship that I got. Let's go.
Keep banging that drum, baby. Thank you for listening. Make sure that you follow us on Twitter, Que Golazo Pod, YouTube, youtube.com/ Que Golazo, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, CBS Sports, and your CBS Sports app. James Bench, thank you.
Thank you.
Jimmy Conrad, thank you.
Away the lads.
Goodbye, everybody.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount+. Only with the Paramount+ with Showtime plan.